The text for our sermon this morning comes from the gospel reading, and in particular, the Father crying out in verse 24, "I believe, help my unbelief." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe, help my unbelief. Today we hear from God's word what the object of our faith is. Today we hear how, with Christ as the object of our faith, it can take away all of our doubts and all of the times and instances, all the sin where we see ourselves doubting, where we see ourselves crumbling. Christ stands sure and certain. He is the object of our faith. We Christians are not immune to tragedy. Our lives have just as many difficulties as unbelievers and wicked people do. In our gospel reading today, we see this reality. A man's son is demon-possessed. There was no such thing as a peaceful stroll by a pond, no nice afternoon at the beach. Anytime there was water or fire, the demon would drive this child to destroy himself. The father could never let his guard down. Just cooking with a fire? Well, the boy would be driven by the demon to jump right into it. Not only was the father a lifeguard, but he was also a fireman. Never could he take a break, but he was always jumping into the water, jumping into the fire, pulling his son out. Do you think this father's faith was challenged? Do you think this man, being wearied day by day, seeing how easy everybody else's life was, do you think this man was wearied and wondered, does God even know what he's doing? I know some of you have personally had battles like this with your own children. I might be tempted here to even mention my own mom, but that, of course, was for my brother and not me. But yes, we all personally have had heavy crosses like this, even with our own children. God, why is my child sick? What a test of faith. One thing that many people credit for getting them through difficult times is their faith. And they say, I don't know what I'd do without my faith. My faith gets me through each day. I'm glad I have a strong faith. While the sentiment is good, the words are off just a little bit. Unfortunately, these well-meaning people have misunderstood faith. Faith itself is not something to believe in. Faith itself is only as good as the object to which it looks. Faith receives. Faith is like a basket or a container. That which you believe in, the object of your faith, makes your faith either good or not so good. By analogy, let's say you want to build a house. You have the perfect design. It's the house of your dreams. Your Uncle Mike, he's a dentist, not a builder. He has a nice personality. He makes you laugh. He always remembers to send you a card on your birthday. And he says, I'll build your home. You can put your faith in me. Well, you're certain Uncle Mike's going to do a great job. So you put all your faith in him. Your Uncle Steve, on the other hand, he doesn't even say hi to you at the family reunion. He doesn't give you the family deal. Steve isn't so nice. In fact, he's stubborn and doesn't smile very much. You have little to no faith in Steve to build your home, but he's a builder. Which of the two do you think will build you a better home? It will certainly be curmudgeon Steve. Mike's house fell before it even was built. But you had great faith in Mike. You had a lot of faith in him, but in the end, your faith was worthless because the object of your faith couldn't build for you. Faith always has an object, and faith is only as good as that object. When people say, "I don't know what I do without my faith," they're placing their faith in their faith. That's a circle. An endless proposition that has no substance, no object to it. In Latin, we have a word for this. It's called fideism. Fide is Latin for faith, as we know from the Marines. Semper fi, always faithful. Fideism is faith that your faith is going to help you. It would be like going to your neighbor and asking for a gallon of milk, and all they give you is an empty gallon jug. Faith is the jug. Milk is the object which you need. Faith receives its object. So we can understand today why the man speaks about his faith the way he does. I believe. Help my unbelief. Everything the man had perhaps believed and trusted in seemed to falter. Nothing seemed sure, and the relentless battle of trying to save his son had worn him thin. What a great confession. What a great way to speak of our faith and the things that we trust in. Not only that, but it brings to voice that feeling that we all know about how we ebb and flow in our faith, and that sometimes the things we put our faith in, the things that we have wrongly trusted, they aren't so trustworthy. Some days we're encouraged. It seems like we can withstand any temptation of the devil. We have such a distaste for sin. We love life. We want to sing God's praises. But then other days, we're like the Father. All we see in life is our failed attempts to be faithful in the vocations which God has given us. And we wonder, does God even hear me? The Father, he too now, he wonders, since the disciples were rather helpless against this demon, would Jesus even care? If you are able, have compassion on us. Jesus is the object of this man's faith, but he also recognizes our fallen tendencies to doubt. What a confession. I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus answers, "If I am able, do you know who I am? If I am able?" But really, isn't this sometimes the difficulty of relying on our faith? The question is more to us. If we are able, can you really trust your faith? Can we even really trust our judgment? Can we put God on trial according to our understanding when life is difficult, when we face tragedies? As shaky as we are and unreliable, up one day, down the next, is it really our judgment that we can trust and then to put God on trial? And then, what about when you do sin? How strong is your faith to even hold your tongue? Have you gossiped lately? Our epistle reading in James, he brings it up. Yes, it's easy to trust our faith when life is going well, but what about when you talk about the person who's causing you trouble? It's always their fault. James points out that the tongue, perhaps one of the smallest parts of the body, But the sin and angst, the warfare, the fire it can generate, you can't even hold your tongue. You want to trust your faith? Saying uncontrollable things, never mind what goes on in your head. God knows and God hears. Maybe we have more in common with the demon-possessed boy than with the father. But you see, you too have a father that never lets his guard down. You too have a father who will do anything it takes to save you. God, your heavenly Father, he knows your fits of rage. He knows the fires you start with your tongue. He knows the trouble you get yourself into. You have a father who's a firefighter, a lifeguard. He is whatever you need. He sends his Son, Jesus Christ, to take away that one thing we cannot defeat: sin, death, and the devil. He sends his Son, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior, with yesterday being September 11th and the talk and the discussion and the remembering of all the Saviors that day who put their own lives in danger. Today, we hear of a Son, Christ Jesus, who jumps into the fire of your sin and he brings you safely home. As much as you sin, as many times as you run away, your Heavenly Father forgives you. In our reading today, Jesus shows us why he has come. He's come to save us from what seems to be the possession of the devil. The devil, indeed, he has possessed our world. He's possessed our fallen race, and he will not stop until a child dies. So the Father comes to our aid. Not just a temporary patch, though. The Father sends his perfect Son, the one who's not possessed, the one not taken over by the devil, the one who never set the world afire with his tongue except to burn away unrighteousness and sin. This one, he goes into the fires. Jesus endures the fire of God's judgment on sin, and he dies on your behalf to promise you he will never leave you. And what does he do? He invites you into the waters with him. Jesus comes to give himself that we would be saved. And you can trust in Jesus, even though it might be heavy, your cross. It's meant to point you to Jesus. For you to be like this Father and to pray, to call upon him in the day of trouble, and he will deliver you. Yes, Jesus Christ invites you each and every day into the waters of baptism with him every day to remember that promise that he gave you, where you indeed were drowned, but it wasn't a drowning to death, it was a drowning to life. Your sinful nature's hold on you, the devil's grip on you, was broken at baptism. And he brings you now through fires of purifying your faith, teaching you to trust him, so that you would see everything else burn down, even the things you may have put your faith in wrongly. All of the challenges you face, the heavy crosses you carry, these burn everything away so that all that's left for you to call out to is his promise of forgiveness and eternal life. Your Father does this because he knows you tend to flounder. Jesus washes you clean, gives you new life so you can trust his promises. This is what we put our faith in: the not guilty judgment of God. This is worthy of every ounce of praise. Let everything else fall. This one thing stands true. You are, for Christ's sake, forgiven and protected. So even when you think your faith is strong, God is stronger. When you think your faith is weak, Jesus' promise still stands. Your sins are forgiven. our faith is only as good as its object. With Christ as the object of your faith, Christ the one who fills you up with forgiveness, holiness, even the demons fear you. Although you may be weak, Jesus is strong. I believe. Help my unbelief. A confession that recognizes the truth that if our faith is our work, our faith is never enough, but the object of our faith. And to the one who cries out, Christ, I believe, help my unbelief, confessing our weakness, confessing our needs, he hears and will give you precisely what you need. Only don't give up. Stay faithful. The father prayed to Jesus, just like the woman last week who was happy to receive the crumbs from her master's table, so you too, when you've been stretched to your limits, know that Jesus' love and care for you knows no limit. He's got you. He's got your family. He will take care of everything. You have a father that does not sleep. You have a father that's constantly watching over you, pulling you out of your sins where sometimes, well, we follow our sinful nature. He pulls you out with forgiveness. Because one day when your body does die, everyone stands around and maybe thinks Jesus has failed, saying he is dead. Do not fear. Christ has defeated death. Like the boy in the story, he will once again pull you to safety. He'll pick you up by the hand out of your grave, and you will live. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.